Hello and welcome to this program. I want to, as minister of the congregation, to thank you very much for tuning in to this program as it takes place. We trust that you'll enjoy the hymns as they're sung and the Bible reading as it will take place, and also the preaching of God's word, and that your soul will be richly blessed through the ministry of his word to your heart. As a church, we have been involved in the nursing home ministry for many years, and at present we have a number of ministry teams going into six or seven nursing homes around the district. Now, due to the restrictions that have been brought into place because of the coronavirus, we're not able to hold those services in those various nursing homes. And not wanting to abandon this ministry altogether, we've decided that we will carry on this ministry in this particular way by producing a monthly program. Whether you can access it by the DVD format or you can access it online through Facebook and YouTube. Various members of the ministry teams are going to take part on a monthly basis. And I'm going to hand over now to Mr. John Craig, one of the elders of our congregation, and he's going to come and introduce some hymns for us.
As Mr. Petunga said, we are delighted to have the opportunity to broadcast to the nursing homes. We have missed the opportunity to be with you in person, but we have this opportunity and we're delighted to be here. We're going to sing some well-known old-fashioned hymns. The words will come up on the screen and we want you to join in the singing of the hymns. There will be singing on the broadcast to help you along. Now, the first hymn that we're going to sing is Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And just immediately after the singing of this hymn, David is going to come and lead us in prayer. So that's just after we sing this hymn. The words of the hymn, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest, that ever was heard.
Thank you. We just bow our heads in a wee word of prayer as we come before the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee for the praises we can sing unto Thy name. We thank Thee, Lord, for that word telling me the story of Jesus. We pray, Lord, Thou would give help, Lord, to Mr. McClellan as he brings Thy word to each one as they take part in this meeting. And Lord, we pray that Thou would bless each of the nursing homes, Lord. We thank especially those that we have been with for so many years in Ashwood and Glebe Road, Rathmina, and so many more. We pray Thou would bless Thy word as it goes forth and even over the internet too. So, Lord, come and be in our midst. And, O Lord, we just ask that we would see of Thy power and of Thy glory, so as I've seen Thee in the sanctuary, that, O Lord, Thou would come and bless us throughout this meeting, and let Thy word find place in some heart tonight, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll come now to sing our second hymn, "So What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And after that, Kareth will read the scriptures to us. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
We're going to read from John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Do appreciate Kareth reading the scriptures for us. And there is one verse of scripture out of that portion that I want to draw to your attention for a little while. It's maybe the most well-known verse in all the Word of God. And certainly here in Northern Ireland, if you're ever travelling around the road to Bangor, especially, well, coming from Bangor towards Belfast, you'll see this text of scripture up there on the side of a barn. It's John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As I say, it's possibly the most well-known verse in all the Word of God. And there's good reason why it is such a well-known verse of Scripture. Because it really sums up the Gospel in just one verse. And there are some wondrous truths in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're certainly highlighted here. And for a moment or two, I would like to draw your attention to some of these great truths. And in many ways, we could say the Gospel is here in a nutshell. In just one verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you first of all to consider wonderful love. For God so loved the world, it says. For God so loved the world. It's not possible to measure the love of God. The nearest that our language can come to that is the expression that you find here in this verse. For God so loved. And even in those words, there's not a measure that is there and present. It's immeasurable. And so it is when we come to think about the love of God, because it was love for a sinful world. And to think that a holy God would ever set his love upon a sinful world, that's amazing when we come to think about it, that God would love sinners because God is so holy. The angels, the holy angels in his presence, it tells us, they veil their faces and they cry, holy, holy, holy. So if holy angels in the presence of a holy God feel that they need to veil their face, then there is surely that sense of greater holiness about God than there is even about holy angels. And yet we find that this holy God loves a fallen world. Loves a fallen world because that's the world that God sees. God sees a world in sin. This world has fallen into sin. Sin has entered into the world, and the Bible tells us that it has brought a curse upon not only the people who live in the world, but upon the physical world itself. The Bible says that the earth groans because of that curse that it is under, the effects of sin. So when we think about the world itself, and then when we think about all the individuals who live in this world, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. God set his love upon a fallen world, upon fallen human beings, upon you and me, who are sinners in his sight, marred by sin, stained by sin. And sin is not pleasant in God's eyes. It is not something that he can look upon and accept and tolerate. But nevertheless, it tells us here about the wonder of his love. And that's the first thing that is drawn to our attention right in the opening line here of this wonderful verse. For God so loved the world, because the gospel flows out of that love. That's the reason why there is a gospel to preach. That's why we have got a message to proclaim to all the world. It's because of the love of God. And all that we read of in the scriptures by way of the gospel, all of those details that are mentioned with regards to the Son of God, all of it flows out of the love of God for sinners. And how wondrous is that love. And may we indeed know it shed abroad in our hearts. May we have some experience of that love. I trust that you do have. And even as you're listening to this program, if you have never had the experience of the love of God and know not anything of it, I trust that even now you would think about this and ponder it and marvel at it as the Word of God would have us to marvel, that God would love fallen humanity, that he would love sinners like you and me. How amazing. So the first thing that you have here is wonderful love. And then I want you to consider something else, an unspeakable gift. You see, the Bible uses that terminology to refer to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming into the world. And this verse of Scripture mentions that coming. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So there is a gift that is highlighted here in this verse of Scripture. And that brings us to think about the gift of the Son of God and also about the gift of salvation as well. God gave his Son. In order to save us, he gave his Son. He saw a world that was perishing. As he looked upon this world and set his love upon it, he realized and knew that if we were ever to be spared, then he would have to give his Son to come into this world, and that his Son would have to go to the cross and lay down his life. And he gave his Son. He gave him willingly. The Bible says that he gave him freely. There was no reticence on God's part. It wasn't that somehow he was reluctant to give his Son, and only when every other means was exhausted and every other avenue explored that finally God consented to give his Son. No, that is not the case. He loves mankind freely. He gives his Son freely. And he gave his Son to come into this world. The one who is the darling of his bosom, the one who is his delight, the Bible tells us, the one who was in heaven with him, because he is the eternal Son of God. He came into this world, given by the Father. And when we come to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read of him in the Gospels, we think about him as the gift of God. He was given by his Father. He was given by his Father out of love for this world. But when we receive a gift, well, we are to take it and we are to accept it on those terms. If somebody gives you a gift or has given you a gift at some time in the past, maybe even marking a birthday at the present time, and if you receive a gift, well, you're to take it as a gift. You're to take it as somebody who has purchased that for you and who has willingly given it to you and delights to give it to you. Well, when we come to think about the gospel, we come to think about a gift from God. Because you and I cannot earn salvation. There's absolutely nothing that you or I can do that can merit salvation and get us to heaven. Salvation comes from the gift of God. There's those verses over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's the emphasis there that it is a gift of God. So when we think about salvation, when we think about the gospel, and we started out by saying, well, here's the most well-known verse in all the scriptures, here's the gospel in a nutshell. And in the heart of this text of scripture, it speaks about a gift. And you and I need to receive that gift. We need to be willing to receive it. If somebody came along and was giving us a gift, and we didn't receive it, well, how would that reflect upon us? Would that not highlight the fact that we were very mean? That we wouldn't accept a gift from someone? After all, they had gone to such expense, gone to such effort in order to purchase it and bring it to us. Would it not be very mean-spirited if we did not accept that gift? Well, how do you think that God feels when we do not accept the gift of his Son as our Saviour? When we try to work our way to heaven by our own efforts and think that somehow we're good enough and that we don't need to come to know Jesus Christ as our Saviour, how does that make God feel when we despise his gift? And there are many who despise his Son, who won't believe on Jesus Christ, who reject him, and who try to gain heaven by another way, and who think that you can be a Christian, that you can reach heaven, that somehow you can please God and never have any regard for his Son. There are many people like that. No, it is a gift, men and women, and we need to accept it as such. And I trust that you will and that you have accepted the gift of God's dear Son as the Saviour. And that brings us to one final thought here out of this verse. Not only wonderful love and an unspeakable gift, but then there is so great salvation. Because this verse of Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You see, if you come and accept the gift of God by faith, there are two things that are highlighted here. One, you and I will not perish. And then secondly, we will have everlasting life. This is what is entailed in the gospel. And those are the two things that our soul needs. Our soul needs to be delivered from perishing. Perishing forever in a lost eternity. We need to be saved from our sins, because our sins will take us down to a lost eternity. Our sins will cause us to perish. Therefore, we need to be saved from perishing. But Jesus Christ, as the Saviour, will do that. And that's the promise here in this so great salvation, that we shall not perish. If we come to know Christ, if we take God's free gift of salvation through his Son, we will not perish. But then on the other part it says we will have everlasting life. And that refers to what the Lord gives to us. He gives to us new life. He gives to us new life, spiritual life. Oh, we can be physically alive, spiritually dead, but by the gift of God and salvation, we have new life, spiritual life, and that spiritual life is everlasting life. It will never cease. It will never die. It will never come to an end. It will take us out into heaven for all of eternity to come. Oh, that's the wonder of so great salvation. And further over in the New Testament, we are asked that question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And how great, men and women, is God's salvation? How great it is that it will deliver us from perishing and it will bring to us everlasting spiritual life. And I trust that you have indeed received the gift of God's dear Son. And if you haven't, that you would even do that just now, that you would lift up your heart to the Lord and that you would call upon him. You can do that where you are at this very moment, wherever you're seated, wherever you're found. You just have to lift up your heart to the Lord. You don't need a church and you don't need a preacher. You just need to cry unto the Lord and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord will save you. And he will give you that eternal life and deliver your soul from perishing. So I trust the Lord will bless his word. And as you think about that verse of Scripture, that the Lord might write it upon your heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I trust the Lord will bless his word to each heart. Thank you very much for listening.
I want to thank Mr. McClung for bringing us God's word. We come now to our closing hymn, and this is a hymn that speaks of the love of God demonstrated at Calvary. There is a green hill far away. In the first verse, there is a green hill far away without a city wall, where Christ our Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We want to just conclude our service with a short word of prayer. Let's all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this service. We thank Thee for the opportunity to communicate to the folks in the homes. And, O God, we pray that Thou will bless Thy word, Lord, that it will be a word of encouragement to each one. And, O God, if there is one somewhere that doesn't know Thee as Saviour, we pray, Lord, that Thou will have mercy upon them. And, O God, that they may understand the need to call upon the Saviour for salvation. Bless each one, we pray. We pray, Lord, that Thou will bless each one in the homes. We think of the staff that work there. We pray for Thy blessing upon them as well. And be with us each one until we have the opportunity to meet once again. Amen. That brings us to the end of this broadcast. We want to thank each one for tuning in, and we pray that you will have enjoyed this service, that it will have been a blessing to you, and we look forward to being in touch with you once again.